In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" It can be underemphasized, I believe, in this exchange of our gospel today, that Jesus asks his disciples two questions. It's human nature, no doubt, to focus in on the personal one, but who do you say that I am? The accent is placed there, we imagine, and there's very little doubt that it was in our gospel for today. But both questions matter, don't they? Surely Jesus doesn't simply ask the first question to set up the second. They must both matter. Indeed, we feel rather acutely the interplay between them these days. Think about it. If we substitute our American culture for the crowds Jesus speaks of, we are certainly answering the personal question in relationship to it. When we are put on the spot about our Christian identity, what the crowds might think is very much on our minds as we craft our answer. And this brings up a simple but important point, doesn't it? What the crowds think actually matters. And it can be for us either a stumbling block or an opportunity. So to begin, let's name the elephant in the sanctuary. It's not a very Episcopalian question, but who do you say that I am? First, it's a personal question. We Episcopalians try and mind our own business. And let's face it, the culture rewards us for minding our own business. Then it's a question with a lot of evangelical baggage, right? Who do you say that I am has a bit of that are you saved track hander outer to it, decidedly un-Episcopalian. So the point remains that the answer to the personal question takes us right into the crowds, touching even our own quest at a church identity. But then the crowds keep growing. It's the generic secular culture. The American religion should be private culture, the needed multicultural respect culture, then the various forms of Protestantism from which we want to distinguish ourselves, and increasingly our family culture, interfaith marriages, non-church-going spouses and children and relatives, the crowd of would-be offended folks are those in whom we are invested in such a way as to parse our answer grows. The crowds matter, what they think, and they take many forms. I've mentioned but a few. And yet there's no avoiding it. The church better have an answer. And as the church is her members united to Christ, so must we each. But what does it mean in this time, in our families and circles that we travel, and in any given parish, to answer, "But who do you say that I am?" I'm reminded that when I was about 21, my parents were living in Brooklyn Heights, and they became fast friends with some young lawyers across the hall. Neither of them were Christian or religious in any way, but they were keen to talk about religion. I usually wasn't around for those dinner party discussions, but one morning, I stopped by this couple's apartment to bring back something they had left the night before. It wasn't long before a cup of coffee led to a discussion of the previous night's discussions. It was about an article of faith, I can't remember which one. The husband turned to me and said, "You don't actually believe this stuff, do you?" I only wish my answer was more robust. I kind of sputtered out what Peter boldly proclaims. I left feeling ashamed. That was almost 40 years ago, and at 21, I already knew the crowds matter. That experience was something of a cultural canary in the coal mine for me. Granted, I was young, but the sting of my tepid answer is not left to this day. My point is that when it comes to the awkwardness of this matter, I'm not unaware, nor are any of your clergy. We have old college friends and neighbors too. We live it too. But no matter how empathetic, the question remains and keeps being asked of us and you by the crowd itself. Jesus is asking a very necessary question then and now. And sooner or later, the question comes a few feet from our face, and we must answer it in our own time and place. Jesus promises, we are not left orphans. We are not left without words. The time and the place are given, and with it the words to say, if we will but say them. Often the encouragement we need to see that truth begins right in the parish. In my experience in the parish, God uses people to answer this question to seekers and one another in the concrete. Jane can speak to Lisa and John to Tom in a way that someone else could not. Perhaps it's a shared life experience or a personal story of how they came to faith. In the practice of sharing our faith, we're not dealing with doctrinal professions. We don't recite the creed. Rather, we help one another to answer the question Jesus poses. We appeal to our own journey, and we respect the history of others, something Episcopalians are actually rather good at. As I assess what the crowds are saying about Jesus these days, it's not to bemoan the secularized culture, but I am concerned with how little base knowledge folks seem to have about normal Christian belief and practice. I'm also saddened by what seems like the increasingly tight corridor in which we can answer Jesus' question before others without their shutting right down. But this much I do know. Nothing much happens without a modicum of courage. Courage we Episcopalians often struggle to find. Let's face it, we have many virtues, but wading into personal confessions of faith is not usually among them. And while all that may be true, when we do it better than any Christian body I know. And I think the reason is that we're not hostile to the culture. We're open to process and exploration. Our prayer book does much of the heavy lifting, and we do not put questions to bed before their time. So why does Jesus ask these two questions together? Well, that's a good question. Clearly, Jesus' ministry is at a turning point, and he needs the disciples fully on board, not one foot still stuck on the dock. We too are called to have both feet in the confessional boat. Because there are two questions for at least one reason. The voyage really is through the sea of the crowds, and our calling is to pick up passengers. Some need a lifesaver before a conversation. Some need to get their sea legs first. Some need to be picked up from another boat. Some have been drifted at sea a long time and need a long time to even feel safe. And we're good at all that. We get all that. So to wrap up here, who do you say that I am is the question that brings Jesus. It's a question that keeps growing and deepening and then retreating and reappearing with urgency. It is often answered precisely when we're caught off guard. But Jesus gives the question is in charge of where it goes. The Holy Spirit bears witness if we have been faithful enough in its answer to ourselves and to others in our path. This is our Christian experience. Let me add, most of us are familiar with Matthew's version of today's gospel. And when Peter answers that you are the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ, and Jesus says that on this rock he will build his church. God has built his church on this question and its answer. Jesus promises the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Thanks be to God for such blessed assurance. Assurance that we have already been given everything that we need to answer it in our own voice, in our own time. with our own people. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.